Show. Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Wednesday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. If you'd like to respond to anything we were discussing this morning, joining us on the line now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He represents the 3rd Congressional District here in Alabama. Congressman Mike Rogers on the line with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, as always, we appreciate you making time for us. Well, let's talk about the big topic. It's on just the debacle known as the Afghanistan withdrawal under this administration. You are the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee. Talk a little bit about how you think that unfolded.
It's just reckless disregard for being responsible. You know, when the president announced back in April that he was leaving without condition, we immediately started, you know, urging him to reconsider. But if he was going to leave, at least do two things. Slow it down, have a plan, slow it down and do it safely. And then try to keep a base somewhere in the country for our counterterrorism activities. And they kept saying they were working on a plan. We, in a very public way on the Armed Services Committee, because this has been very bipartisan, we're urging them to tell us what his plan was and May and June, and never would. I sent him a letter in July. I still hadn't got a plan. And, of course, you know, the Taliban took over in August. So he was just determined to do this, notwithstanding what was responsible and what was not. I will tell you, in his interview with George Stephanopoulos a couple of days ago on ABC, when he was asked, did anybody in your circle of advisors oppose this, or urge you not to do it? He said, no, that was just a patent lie. He was advised by some of the senior officials not to go forward with this, and he chose to ignore them. So I want everybody to know that when you look at the situation that we have in Afghanistan right now, particularly in Kabul, it is solely the fault of Joe Biden and nobody else. Some of the people I move around have wanted to blame Secretary of Defense Austin or General Milley. It is not their fault. It is Joe Biden's fault that we're in this situation.
Congressman, do you think it's true that it was just he wanted that victory lap or that symbolic gesture to say by the time September 11, 2021 rolled around, the 20-year anniversary that we were out of Afghanistan, is it that simple, you think?
Unfortunately, I think it is, and that is just reckless on its face. You know, we don't make decisions about military actions based on ceremonial dates. We do it based on missions and what our needs are in theater around the world. And he didn't hear. And this, now we're paying the price for it as a country. You know, this has not only put a lot of Americans in jeopardy in Afghanistan, but this has hurt our standing in the world. It has made us look, I think, vulnerable to aggressors like Russia and China. We're going to be paying for this for a while. But right now, our sole focus among the Republican conference up here and on the Armed Services Committee is to get our Americans out of Afghanistan safely and to help get our allies out of there, the people who have helped us either by being interpreters or washing our clothes or feeding our members. You know, that we've had thousands of Afghans risk their lives to help us over the last 20 years. And we owe it to them to get them out of there and to help our allied countries who are trying to do the same thing. This has done enough damage to us with NATO. We don't need to be leaving any of their people on the field either.
What do you think of that, the discussion about going back in with some kind of either very surgical approach of getting people evacuated, or is it going to take something bigger? I mean, it sounds to me like the there's a lot of ideas on the table, but I don't know, maybe you're more aware of this. Is there any, do you get any sense that they have any idea of what they would like to do?
The Defense Department knows exactly what they need to do, but the Defense Department's not allowed to make the decisions. The State Department's in charge over there, and that means Secretary Blinken, who's an idiot. And one of the primary reasons we're in this situation. If the military was in charge and was told to get our people out, they could do it. But the State Department is unfortunately in charge, and the military is in a support role. Having said that, I do believe that we can get our folks out of there as long as the president drops this arbitrary deadline of next Tuesday. There's nothing magic about August 31st. What we should be focused on is the mission, making sure every American and our friends are given the opportunity to leave if they want to, and they want to.
Well, that's the question. Refer to that August 31st deadline, that it is it's arbitrary, and it doesn't seem like to you that there's any purpose or reason why you set that date and make that a date certain.
Yeah, I think he's just being stubborn now. And he's still in denial, I believe, that this has turned into the disaster that it has. You know, we had a classified briefing today, a bipartisan classified briefing of the whole House today, and that, I can tell you, I won't tell you what anybody answered, but I can tell you the question was asked. Are y'all telling the president what's going on? Because he certainly doesn't seem to know when he makes statements like, it's easy for people that are Americans that want to get to the Kabul airport to get there and to get in, and that there aren't any Afghans that are wanting to leave. And you just wonder, who's telling him this stuff? Does he not have a television? Are newspapers available to him? So I don't know what's going on with the fella, but I know he sure is putting a lot of Americans at risk with his reckless behavior.
The withdrawal of Afghanistan, the way you woke up one morning and then all of a sudden there's Bagram Air Force Base abandoned, everything left behind. I don't think that's how you do it according to any of the manuals or you know, any of the protocol we have in place. But that seems like an awful lot of American hardware, a lot of American treasure, a lot of taxpayer money left to sit there as we got out of town there. Am I wrong to kind of question the thinking there?
There wasn't any. That's what I'm telling you. We have had repeated briefings with the administration, the Armed Services Committee, both Democrat and Republican, urging them to tell us what's going on, to tell us what their plan was, how they were going to do it. And I can tell you the Democrat members were just as angry as the Republican members. They were rushing this for no need. You know, if you're going to withdraw, do it responsibly. You don't go off and just leave Bagram Air Force Base in the middle of the night and not even tell the Afghans who've been working with us there. You don't go and leave all those helicopters over there or the strikers or any other equipment that we've left. It was all just in a rush to get out because Biden wanted to get out fast. And it's been reckless, and it's put us in this situation. Now it's very dangerous. We've got a situation over there now where, because he allowed it, the Taliban is in charge of Kabul. The Taliban should never have been allowed to get into Kabul until we were through with what we were doing. Instead, our State Department leadership decided to abandon the $1 billion embassy that we built in Kabul rather than have military pulled in to support security. It's all been reckless, and we're in a very, very dangerous situation right now. If, in fact, next Tuesday, the Taliban, any members of the Taliban, or for that matter, ISIS-K or any other terrorist group, could decide to implement an attack, and it's not going to go over well. The American people, if there are any Americans harmed as a part of this withdrawal, they're going to demand that we go back in there and clean that up. And it's all going to be Joe Biden's fault.
Carson, what was the strategic importance of Afghanistan? People may not realize, I mean, it has a short border with China, but also Iran, Russia, all of these are supposed to be our primary adversaries in the world. And we had a post there that was abandoned. Was that, should that have been any part of the calculus as to whether we have remained to have some kind of presence in Afghanistan?
That's what both Democrat and Republican members of the Armed Services Committee on the House and Senate have been demanding, is that if you're going to withdraw, at least keep a base somewhere in Afghanistan. It doesn't have to be Bagram. Bagram is very large and it's kind of in a hole. Would have been hard to keep defended. But there are other options in the country that we can keep. And the main reason that we need to keep a presence there is counterterrorism. You have to take back 20 years ago. This is where the terrorists that carried out 9/11 were training. And that's going to happen again. I mean, we've already gotten the intelligence briefings on it from both the IC community and the defense community. They've all told us within 6 to 12 months these folks are going to be right back in there. It's going to become a hotbed of terrorist training and activity again. And we've got to have ISR capability so we can keep an eye on what these people are doing so we don't let them hit us. One of the reasons we were hit successfully in 9/11 was that we didn't have eyes over there to see what was happening. We don't need to make that mistake again. So we've been saying, keep a base somewhere. And we don't have to ask the Taliban's permission. We tell them, you know, we're the superpower. We spent $1 trillion over there in the last 20 years. And if we say we're going to keep a base, we're going to keep it and tell them if you mess with it, we'll kill you. That's all we're saying. He doesn't have to have any other presence in the country other than that. And he won't listen to anything. But I'm telling you, you watch that we're going to have to go back in there and clean up some terrorist activity. And it's going to be much more expensive and cumbersome than if we just kept a base to begin with.
And I don't, you know, necessarily think the Russians are going to get back involved in Afghanistan. They learned the hard way 30, 40 years ago. But China and the expanding threat of China, and we talk about it a lot. Are you concerned they try to make a play here?
Both of China and Russia have already said they're going to acknowledge the Taliban as a governing body. Because they're both very interested in the minerals over there. The country is rich in very rare minerals, and both of them just are salivating to get a hold of those. One of the things the administration has been saying is that they're negotiating with other countries in the region so we can have basing there to do this counterterrorism activity. And there is no way that any one of the stands, whether it's Uzbekistan, Pakistan, any other stand over there, is going to let us put a base in their country with Russia and China telling them no, because they're all just on the border of Russia and China and they're intimidated by them. So if we don't keep a base in Afghanistan, then the closest we're going to be able to fly out of is going to be the UAE, and that's not good enough.
Finally, Congressman, we'll get you out of here on this. Just get your comments on, we're sitting here today, COVID-19, and, you know, I've talked about this in the past, and I want to see if you continue to think that. China is still the preeminent threat to the United States on the globe as we sit here today, that, you know, that is where you put your focus a lot of times in your position as on the Armed Services Committee as a ranking member. Does that continue to be the case today?
China is a long-term threat for this country. You know, we've got immediate threats. Like right now, we've got this threat in Afghanistan we're having to deal with. We've got immediate concerns in Eastern Europe with Russia's aggression against Ukraine and threatening the Baltics. But the long-term adversary that we have to stay focused on is China. They are not our friend. They are a hostile adversary. And we have got to free ourselves of any kind of obligation to them, whether it's, I would say not obligation, but dependence on them for anything, because they're not our friend. I can tell you that on a bipartisan basis in the Armed Services Committee, we are starting with this year's National Defense Authorization Act to get them completely out of the supply chain for anything the Defense Department buys. And we are going to be successful. It's going to take us a few years to get it completed. But our position is if you're a company out there and you sell something to us in the Defense Department, then you better get China out of your supply chain. If you don't, we're not going to buy it. And we don't want to hear you whining. So we're serious about it. I want everybody to know China is a threat to this country, and we've got to disassociate ourselves from them to the extent possible. And, you know, I'm not saying we don't sell things to them, you know, but we need to be responsible and make sure we're not staying dependent on them like we have been in recent years for so many things, from manufacturing to pharmaceuticals and such. We just cannot allow that to continue.
Congressman, we've got to leave it there, but you've been very kind with your time, and let's talk again real soon.
All right. Sounds good, Jeff.
Thank you. Congressman Mike Rogers, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Through those Alabama pines, somebody take me home.